Riley Herbst from 2311 Racing here, and you know what grinds my gears? Waiting for coffee. But instead of counting frappes and lattes, I fire up Chumba Casino. No apps, no fuss, just fun social casino games to pass the time. By the time my coffee's ready,
order for Riley.
I've already taken a few victory laps. Next time you're stuck waiting, make it entertaining. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to the Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the Nike Pants Studios. I'm Ryan Sickler, RyanSickler.com and Ryan Sickler on all your social media. I'm going to start this episode like I start them all by saying thank you. Whether you've been here or whether you're new here, thank you for whatever you do and however you support me. For real, whether you're coming out on the road or watching the Way Back or the Honeydew or the Patreon, whatever it is, the Crab Feast, the specials, all of it, thank you, for real. And if I am in your town when you're around, I'm going all through the year. Get your tickets at RyanSickler.com. Come see me live. And if you got to have more, then I'm telling you, man, you got to have the Patreon. I'm keeping it $5 a month. It's been that way for years. And it's this show with y'all. And I mean, we just talked to a dude who just lost his hand. And when I say just lost his hand, he held it up and it was wrapped. It wasn't there anymore. Like a couple days ago it was, and now it's not. He's in the hospital talking about it. Like, it's insane. $5 a month. You get the Honeydew a day early. You get it ad free at no additional cost. It's worth it. It's a cup of coffee. You get hundreds of episodes. All right. That's it, man. You guys know what we do here. We highlight the lowlights. And I always say these are the stories behind the storytellers. I'm very excited to have this guest back on the Honeydew. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Dan St. Germain. Welcome back to the Dew.
Glad to be back. Thank you, dude. Good people to see talk you. About this podcast like me on this podcast, people reference it all the time when I'm on the road.
Is that right?
Yeah, man.
Makes me feel
good.
This
is one of the top, this is a heavyweight contender in the podcast world, brother.
That's nice to hear.
Yeah.
Well, it's great to have you back. Before we get into whatever we're going to get into, plug it all, buddy.
Right. Well, the big reason, should I look at the camera?
It's you right here.
Like all of a sudden when I have to be professional, it's just like, I'm so relaxed when I'm not, but when I'm like, please come see me this day, like there's a fucking gun in my mouth. I have a new special, Dance Fatty Dance. It's out on YouTube. Totally free, 800-pound gorilla. Also helped with it. So check it out, man. My half-hour Comedy Central one's up there, too. But I'm really, you know, trying to get the views up for that. So please check that out. I have a podcast, Working Stiff. It's a wrestling podcast. Used to be called Wrestle Roast, but we just changed it. And me and Sean Donnelly are going to be coming out with a podcast sometime this summer called Burbs Bros. Story about, like, whack, you know, like, UFO landings, orgies, all in the suburbs. So there you go. Got there them you all go. Out.
We were talking about what to talk about. And
right.
Your last episode was about addiction. It was right. About relapse.
Guess what? Wish I could say that chapter of that book was closed. Don't worry, Ryan. Don't worry.
Well,
the big dog is back in the yard.
What does that mean for you? Let's talk about
well,
it.
Well, I am clean and 6 months sober again.
Again, but how long were you clean and sober prior to that?
I was kind of doing the LA sober thing for a little
which
bit,
is
which I was
marijuana.
Smoking weed quite a bit.
Okay.
Then I was having panic attacks. So I was on actually I was writing for Michelle Wolf's show, mm-hmm. The Break. And I started having panic attacks. So I started taking Xanax and I got
continuing the weed or cutting
yes,
the weed out?
Both okay. together. Okay. And I got addicted to Xanax.
Okay.
So I had to go to detox for that.
Is that right?
All
right,
that's so hold another on. Story.
Okay. I don't want to make that another story because I didn't know there was a thing for that. I'm scared of these pills. I sit right. across from so many people that tell me about these pills, and I'm a person that's going through all this back stuff right. where they're like, hey,
if
you
I
can
were you,
have
I would
these.
Be a skeleton.
And
for
I'm
sure.
like, I beat myself up, and they're like, you should, if you're hurting, take one. If you're a person who can take one, take one.
If you're a person that can take one, it's a great drug.
Right.
I am not a person that just can take
I
one.
I sit across from a lot of people who can't. So what is a Xanax addiction? What happens?
Well, if you've never had a Xanax, it's like an air condition turns on inside your body. Like it's just
that's
a nice cooling. I'm already pro Xanax. I'm already helping out the pharmaceutical industry.
That's an interesting
But getting off Xanax is the worst thing physically I've ever gone through. I've had COVID like 3 times. Like I'd take COVID 100 times again over
what
getting off of Xanax.
What do you have to do to get off of it? You have to go
to a detox and taper okay. off. So they give you Klonopin in the beginning, and then they give you a couple more, and then eventually you're not. So in detox I was fine. It was like this really nice detox. Shout out Ascendant, New York City. But really it was a really nice place. We, you know, typical detox, we're making like little masks, like drawing masks, like this is the mask we wear in society, you know, but it's only a 6-day endeavor. Interestingly enough, it's the same detox that I've done stand up in. It was this gig in New York where you get $100 and you do stand up. So some of the nurses recognize me from there and they're like, oh, are you doing a set? And I'm like, nah, not this time. So I did. I took benzos. We got like a bunch of free, it was a great detox, a bunch of free food. You know, you're allowed to vape at certain times. It's great. You know, I didn't have a roommate for most of the time, so that was great.
And how long are you there?
You're only there for 5 or 6 days.
Okay.
So I thought I was out of the clear.
I see. So you feel good there, then you leave and now it's real.
It just feels like your entire chest is caving in. Anyone who's gone through it, a friend of mine who was on the street, addicted to heroin, said, I'll take heroin withdrawal
Get
over detox,
over
benzos every time.
Really?
And I was only taking 6 or 7 a day. She was taking like 12, you know, like 1 milligrams.
What is Xanax? Is it just a relaxed drug?
Yeah, it's just
is
a relaxed.
Is a Valium?
Dude, it doesn't like, you're never going to hear a story about like, you know, Motley Crue taking a bunch of Xanax and then beating a girl with a swordfish or something like that. It's not that. Anything, it just makes you feel like a rich person from Connecticut. You know, you're just like kind of everything is just, okay, oh, this is cool. All right. Oh, this is cool too. Like you get way higher on weed than you would on Xanax. Xanax is just, you know, but the problem is it blunts some of your creativity. And when you have it with alcohol, there's a lot of people that have overdosed because they've had alcohol and benzos, and that combination, even if you have a small combination, could kill you. Benzos, besides alcohol, is the one drug from withdrawal that can kill you.
Is
so,
that right?
Yes, that's okay. The only one. So, like everything else, you know, crystal meth, cocaine, heroin,
you can cold turkey
get out of that, but you cannot with alcohol. You cannot with benzos. You have to taper off those. So that's the big difference.
Learn a lot here on this episode.
Yeah, man. It's becoming Dr. Drew.
Okay, but now that you're 5-6 days off of this, but under the care of people who know how to do this.
Right, for sure.
Now they're like, good luck to you. And you
good
go
luck.
Right back into the same
and
neighborhoods and social circles and
yes.
et cetera, et cetera. And
well,
all
I got rid of the number of the guy that was like getting me Xanax from the dark web, which I didn't go on because I'm like, I don't want to like accidentally go to the – you know, child porn room.
Anything.
You know what I mean? Or anything.
We're going to bleep that.
But I mean the state yeah. or the state secrets room, you know what I mean? But there is like dark web, you can get like, you can go buy a tiger on it. You know, it's like one of those type of like, there's just lawlessness. I didn't realize there's also like the deep web that's under the dark web, which will probably be like a Netflix 10-part documentary series. So I stopped, I got rid of that number and I was just smoking pot. I started smoking pot again. I don't think it was this trip that I did the honeydew the last time, but I came back to LA. I had sold a show with Jermaine Fowler, very funny guy. I don't know if he's ever done the show. We sold a show to Adult Swim and I started writing for Bill Burr's Immoral Compass, that sketch show. And I was just smoking weed, kind of enjoying it. And then COVID hit. And I ended up smoking pot around the clock. I had a cousin of mine who would sell tincture, but he made it from like grain alcohol in the woods. And this stuff would like, whoo, it was like the most like moonshine way you could do weed, because I wasn't in the city. I was in Massachusetts. And that was the only way I could get stuff. But eventually, you know, smoking enough, you get bored. So I started drinking again. One night in particular, this was kind of heavy. So I'm gonna preface that story with this, is that I guess I drank a lot of vodka. I don't remember what happened, but I blacked out, and apparently my dad was there, and he was sitting on my chest because I was trying to grab a knife to kill myself.
Whoa.
So that was, I've never talked about that on a podcast, so I don't have a lot of stories. Unfortunately, they're all Tales from the Crypt-like stories about my wife, about my life, but my dad and my mom, and my mom, my dad and my wife were kind of keeping me from doing that. I don't remember it.
Do you, have they told you what you did?
Yeah, they told me the next
day.
Like,
when did they? But when did they know? In the moment that this was serious, that like you really could have hurt yourself.
I think I was screaming about demons and I want to kill myself. That's usually the. The
Those are too strong remember, indicators.
Remember before this? Remember before this pod? And I'm like, I don't know if we're going to have anything to talk about. And then just eventually, I'm like, I don't know. You know, there's really not
screaming
much as happened.
About demons and I want to kill mice.
Yeah, that was it. It was either, man, I was doing that or playing Batman Arkham Asylum during the pandemic.
And you don't remember it.
I don't remember
Isn't
it.
Isn't that crazy? Can we talk about that for a second? Like, you're like... It blows me away about our minds and the way things work, that you could actually be so serious about wanting to take your own life and then you can't even remember it.
No. I mean, I had, you know, in college before, I don't know if I talked about this last night, but my friend walked in on me in a tub with a knife and he instead of like being like, are you okay? He goes, what do you, still take baths? What are you, sexy? He like totally missed what was happening. Like, he didn't know it was like a cry for help. And then I tried to hang myself on like a clothesline, but it was like a clothesline. So it was all these like futile attempts in college. But I guess I was more serious about it this time around. Luckily, it didn't happen. I am not suicidal when I am sober.
Are you every time that you're drunk?
No.
No.
No. But the other times I've drunk, the problem is this opened up kind of like, this opened up, you know, the ectoplasm chamber in Ghostbusters or something. Like, the ghost started. So I would have these disasters, you know, where I would be, and this was all during COVID, where I wasn't working. Like, I wasn't, you know, there was really not a lot. You're not really in the writing world, but there was not a lot of shows being written at that time. I did go back to write on the Bill Burr one, but there just wasn't a lot of stuff going on. And I had like my wrestling podcast and my wife, and that was it. And this is a kind of also convert, like, this seems like two things can be. Me and my wife like fell in love with each other during the pandemic. We'd married beforehand, but we kind of realized like, oh, this, because like whenever I'm sober, it's great with us. You know what I mean? It's fantastic. She's the best thing that ever happened to me. But when I'm not, it's, you know, and that's why I'm kind of dedicated this time never to drink again, because I don't want to lose her. But I, you know, one time I blacked out and I woke up. This was like around New Year's. I was freezing in my car, and my wife and my poo, I have a whippet chihuahua. She was trying to pull me out, and I had opened up my phone and I had put a pain clinic in Florida in my GPS. So I guess when I was blacked out on that New Year's night, I was going to drive to Florida to try to get OxyContin. These are kind of the decisions that I make when I'm drunk. So I would have these situations where, and then I think I got about a year where I wasn't drinking, but I was still smoking pot around the clock. And then my mom died. My mom died. I can't get into the total details. I can tell you, we put her in an assisted living facility because she couldn't live on her own because of alcohol abuse. So she had kind of been exhibiting the early signs of wet brain.
What's the wet brain?
More dementia. It's like a form of that.
From the alcohol.
Yeah, she was.
Doesn't that scare the fuck out of you, dude?
Well, it does, but, you know, I mean, like, I'll use this example. All right, like a heroin addict, right? Because I've never done heroin, but I think this is similar to why I drink. They're like, they see their best friend overdose, and they're like, instead of scaring it, they go to the drug dealer, and they go, hey, man, give me what that. Yeah, give me that shit. And I think that, you know, my coping mechanism is just to get drunk and do cocaine or pills or whatever the fuck I was doing. So my mom had kind of had a psychotic break after my dad and her divorced. She was peeing like every couch in her house. Black mold had kind of grown throughout the entire house, so it was unlivable. It was a teardown when we got it. I guess there was some guy that she was hanging out with who was just giving her this liquor. We had tried to put her in I tried to put her in rehab. It didn't work. I would try to incorporate her on Thanksgivings. It didn't work. Eventually, I broke and I like didn't talk to her for a year. And I, you know, one of the things that I'm still not over is I had blocked her number, you know, because I just couldn't deal with this anymore, you know. And then I had unblocked and I found all these messages from her from that year. So I listened, you know, like 12. So she was trying to reach out. And
is that the way it happens? If you block someone and
I guess if you unblock it, it's all there. There are all these messages. So like
hearing that,
you know, I felt like, God, should I have been there more? But, you know, my sister and my dad had been kind of like, you know, they had set up more boundaries than me. And then eventually, you know, the time they put her in that facility, I wasn't talking to her. I found those messages. I obviously felt terrible. But, you know, you have to understand I've been doing this for 3 years with her. And it was like, you know, I felt like, okay, well, maybe I put her in rehab. I've been trying to incorporate her. Maybe me and my dad put her in rehab. Maybe if I stop talking to her, that'll get her to stop drinking and realize this is a bottom and stuff like that. Because she basically said on the phone, I like drinking more than you. And I'm going to keep, she said that on the phone to me. So,
wow.
Like, I was like, okay, maybe if I stop, she'll stop. Maybe if I stop talking to her, she'll, but that didn't happen. She got worse. So, you know, eventually they, like, you know, she stopped calling me on birthdays and
what's that feel like? I mean,
it's rough. Are you close to your mom?
No, this is my mom growing up. But right. To hear I like drinking more than you. This isn't a person. It's not a man. It's it's not another one of your siblings. Or I mean,
It's tough, Ryan. It's very tough. You know, it was. I wish I had done more. I mean, I still don't. I guess I don't have a lot of anger because I still see so much of myself in her. And I wish I could be compassionate to her, you know, the way my wife is compassionate to me, but I tried, you know, and eventually it was this thing where I just couldn't, you know, I couldn't break my wall to like get, or she couldn't break her wall. There was walls. Like, for instance, like I took her out to eat once at a Christmas and like around then, like Christmas Eve or something. And I finally said, did something happen to you when you were younger? Because, you know, I had a great uncle that had like, you know, I don't know what he was, but he was been accused of like sexual predation or something. And she said, no, nothing happened to me. And as she's saying no, tears are just streaming down her face, but she's not moving her face. So there was a lot in my mom that like that I'll never know, that she never let the world know. And I think she was on a lot of pills before she died as well. But yeah, I tried to cut up that boundary. And then, you know, by the time I had like let her back into my life, you know, this was a couple of years ago. It was like kind of more as a sick person because she had lost a lot of cognition. Some days she'd be great. Other days she wouldn't be great. Like her schedule, she would have like big black circles where the schedule would be. Like she couldn't really write. And this is a woman who had her master's. Talk differently. All I can describe is if you notice somebody like Kurt Angle talk differently after the pills, my mom was starting to like kind of talk differently. And I wasn't talking to her, but my sister, who hadn't been talking to her, now we kind of tag team. She's like, now was talking to her. She had like, my mom wasn't picking up the phone. So, you know, they called the police and the police came to her house for a welfare check. And she was like, under newspaper, you know, like booze everywhere. And that's when we're like, okay, well, we have to put her in this assisted living facility because she wouldn't go to rehab. I said to her, rehab or an assisted living facility. And I don't think she realized what she was doing. But then so she's like this woman who's in her mid-60s and she's living with people who are in their 80s, you know, which was so sad.
And so wait, now you said to us that you can't go cold turkey on the alcohol. Your mom's in such an exceptional level. So when they put her in this assisted living facility, do they allow her alcohol so they can wean her off of it?
No, they didn't. There was no alcohol. And luckily, I guess she hadn't gotten to the stage where she was like – she was so sick into it that she's, in hindsight, we probably should have gone to put her in a detox first and then moved. But I guess she hadn't had enough yet where she was like, she didn't detox. I think that they like, they also monitor stuff there for when, I don't really know. The assisted living facility is a whole different thing that I somewhat can't talk about right now. I'll tell you why after the podcast. We kind of moved her to this assisted living facility. I would basically come by to just, you know, take her to doctor's appointments once every 3 months. It was all, and then take her out to eat. And it was, you know, very painful. And I don't think she wanted me around and I didn't want her around. And, you know, I still feel bad about it. But like the last time I saw her when she wasn't in a hospital bed was, you know, on Christmas Eve, I brought her presents and I was going to take her out to eat on Christmas with my wife. And she just told me to leave. Like, basically, I go fuck myself and, you know, kind of kicked me out of it. She didn't say I go fuck myself, but she said, I don't want to be around you, you know, leave. Then I called her to talk about it. She didn't remember it. And she said, oh, I love you. And when I went back, I saw she hadn't opened any of the presents, you know, when we were cleaning out her room. Or whatever. So this is kind of a sob story, I guess.
Well, the show is.
It was very hard. I'm still dealing with it now. Of course, this kind of led to me just there was a horrible accident, which I can't really get into.
Yeah, I'd say what type of accident? A car accident?
There's a horrible accident. Something that happened at the facility.
Gotcha.
Long story short, she died a couple 5 days later. We had to pull the plug. I don't really want to get into the particulars, but you know, like it was at that point, kind of we read her living will, and she, you know, in this state, she would not want to. So that led to me then really kind of, you know, taking up drinking and really going kind of balls to the wall.
It did.
I would kind of try to do it after shows. So nobody, because everybody kind of knew that I was, you know, all my good friends, all my good friends know that I can't drink. So it's like, I can't like come up to them and then I would be fine. And then other times, you know, like Dan Soder, great guy, great comic, took me on the road and it's like, you know, doing, it's going great. And then the next day it's like, I'm like fucking blotto. And he's like, what the fuck is happening? You know, it was like up and down because I still have all these, you know, painful memories from my mom's death. The whole thing was like a crazy couple months where my step uncle died. And then my mom died. And then my aunt died. A girl that I like briefly dated passed away.
Damn.
It was like all in like a 6 month period. 2023 was rough. I had thought I was doing the whole thing where like, okay, I won't drink whiskey. I'll just drink beer. But then that turns into like 20 beers. And then I'm smoking 5 joints or 6 joints a day and then taking 100 milligram edible to go to bed. So, you know, I just couldn't really do anything. You know, I didn't, luckily, I think I did only cocaine once. I actually did it after my special. Check out Dance Fatty Dance on YouTube. You know, I mean, like sometimes when I get drunk, it's just, I'm just drunk and I'm fine. Actually, there's no, like, there's really like, it's either I'm fine and you don't even notice it, or maybe you do notice it, or it's like Nicolas Cage leaving Las Vegas, you know.
Summer is here, and one way you can help your dog shine this season is with fresh, healthy food from The Farmer's Dog. The Farmer's Dog makes real fresh dog food and delivers it right to your door. Recipes are developed by vet nutritionists and made from real meat and veggies. They pre-portion each meal specifically for your dog based on their unique needs, which makes it easy to help your dog maintain their ideal weight, which is one of the biggest predictors of a full, healthy life. All right, this little lady right here, this is Princess Lily Rose. Y'all know Princess Lily Rose. Loves her, the farmer's dog, don't you, girl? Loves chicken, loves turkey, loves that it comes with her name on it, pre-portioned. All right, I always say the vet doesn't even spell it right. All right, it's smart, healthy pet food you can feel good about feeding your pup. It's the best option for dogs of all life stages because it's not kibble, it's not canned goo, it's real healthy food. Get 50% off your first box of fresh, healthy food at thefarmersdog.com/honeydew. Plus, get free shipping. Just go to thefarmersdog.com/honeydew to get 50% off. That's thefarmersdog.com/honeydew. Now, let's get back to the dew.
So eventually, like, you know, I drank in September. I was sober until September through October. And then November, found out some stuff regarding my mom's passing that I can't say on this podcast.
But There's a lot you can't say.
I can. Yeah, okay, I'm not like jipping your, I mean, I'm sorry, screwing your listeners out of some. I found some pretty terrible news out.
And you don't have to say it. I'm just saying.
I'm not. Yeah. I found some bad news out, which led me to really start drinking again. I was, you know, drunk on a radio show. My friend, you know, like I was drunk on stage. I was, that whole week, I was kind of like just off on one. And I realized I had to go to rehab again. So I went to rehab and I haven't had a drink since. I've been out since I got out of rehab on... I had Thanksgiving in rehab, which is actually one of the best Thanksgiving dinners I've ever had. But I got out of there.
Listen, I gotta say this: a lot of people have sat in that chair and gone to rehab, and every single one of them swears the food is fantastic.
Oh yeah, well these guys were really good. Shout out Weybridge Recovery in Long Island.
Everybody says the food, not the hospitals. Rehab is fantastic.
Yeah, it depends on where you go.
That's fucking hilarious.
I mean, the place I went before in Zebracast wasn't that great.
I've ever
but
had.
this was great, man. This was the stuffing was phenomenal. Well,
see, here's what I love about you. Like, you come from, like I do, like this broken family and
right.
Well, you know, I wouldn't you're say Thanksgiving there, at there your is, mom's yeah. could be your mom telling you get the fuck out of here. I don't want to see you.
Yeah.
You're I think later talking on about got broken. The meal. You're talking about not the everything with Thanksgiving with family and giving thanks.
Right, right,
you're
right.
Like
the food,
me.
Man.
The meal is one of the best I've ever had.
Oh, yeah, it was great. It was really good.
Thanksgiving is so much more, but when you got nothing else, that motherfucking meal is everything. I feel you so hard on that, dude.
But it was delicious. I mean... I've met a lot of lifelong friends in rehab. You know, it was where I went to rehab this time was way nicer than where I went to college. I have a whole new.
Are you serious?
Oh, for sure. Wait, I have a whole new chunk about it. You know, I was in Long Island, so at any moment I was expecting Billy Joel to drive through the wall. You know, I stayed there for 21 days, and then I came back, and you know, since January, I've been going fucking full throttle with comedy again. I think that, which I go insane with work, and I usually have a breakdown. So I'm trying to, like, not do that this time. But I've been, you know, I've done, you know, like, since 2024, this is probably, like, my 40th podcast doing it to promote the special that comes out. And, like, you know, like, I've done 100 shows, and I'm also... co-created, developed Stone Cold Law, this cartoon that's at Peacock right now, where Stone Cold Steve Austin joins a historically black law firm, and it's an action adventure psychedelic romp. Me and Soder, Dan Soder, wrote it, had a lot of fun writing it, and Stone Cold sold it with us, so that was crazy. Hell yeah, to have Steve great. Like, yeah, in the process being like, you know, like if we have a good pitch, he's like, "God damn, son, that was a hell of a pitch. That was bad." Or it's like, "I think you got to put some stink on it." You know, it was so surreal. But it was me and just Soder trying to pretend to be men, you know, or like him being like, "Yeah." And then the best way to, you know, hunt an elk, and then us being like, "Yeah, yeah, of course." So that's been kind of wild. But yeah, I've been trying to, you know, kind of get things back together since then. And I've been really fortunate, you know, like, I don't know if America likes me. I don't know if my family likes me, but comedians seem to like
comics
me.
Comics like you,
so
brother.
I've been able to get on some really great shows like yours, to, you know, hawk my wares again.
I say this all the time. Like, I didn't really feel like I was ever around my people until I started being around comedians.
I think I completely agree with that.
Okay.
And I quit comedy for 2 years during the pandemic. Like,
but
I came back.
I also mean, just like, theater kids don't even like us. You know what I mean? I've always looked at the theater kids like, "No, you're the weirdo." And they're like, "Nah, you're the weirdo." And I'm like, "Yeah, you're right, actually."
Well, you know what I think it is? I think theater kids, a lot of them like try to like put forth being complicated. Like, "We're complicated." And comedians are like, "Well, no, we're normal." And then you're like, "No, you're not. You're fucking complicated." Yeah. So I think that's, but I quit, you know, stand up for like 2 years. I just started going back in 2022.
Well, how old are you now?
I'm going to be 40 in May.
All right. So you got 40 years coming up.
Yes.
How old was your mom when she passed?
She was 67.
That's young.
Yes.
That is young, and you know she would have got more mileage out of it if not for alcohol.
She would have been, I mean, there's no reason. My grandpa, who died with a I don't really want to go into the details of her death, but my grandpa died with a bottle of whiskey in his hand.
Is that her father?
That's her father.
All right, so you have this in your blood, literally.
Yes.
Yeah, and he lived to how old, 81?
81.
I mean, people also that smoked every day, right, since they were 13. Well, he lived 102. You know what I mean? Like, I guess sometimes it just doesn't get people. I don't know. Our bodies are all different.
But, you know, I overeat. I over, you know, drink. And you know, and I have a lot of stuff to lose right now. I have a wonderful wife. I have great dogs. I have, you know, a career that seems to be coming back.
Does your wife, does her family deal with addiction at all?
My wife has stopped drinking because of me, so she's been very supportive.
That's good.
On that, family has to deal with stuff, but I can't really go into my wife's family.
For a woman,
you know, I love my mother-in-law, my sister,
like,
and brother-in-law.
She put up with a lot.
My wife?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm saying.
You're talking about this now, she has.
You know what I mean? Like, she's put up with a lot and has helped, been there for you, not just said enough's enough and abandoned you, left.
Right.
It's changed her also, you're saying. And
for sure,
she's not
doing it anymore either, you know, because she's like, "I don't want to." She likes it a lot more, not drinking, but she also is like, "I don't want you to have an excuse."
What about your dad?
My dad drinks too much. He's a playwright, so that's part of the job.
Is that what he does?
Yeah, he's a playwright and a writer. So he drinks too much, but he doesn't drink hard liquor. He drinks beer. He drinks Coors Light, but he drinks probably too much of it. He's calmed down a lot now and older, partially because he has diabetes. You know, a year before that, my dad had fallen because, this is another fucking sob story, but, my dad had to take my mom's dog because my mom couldn't take care of it anymore. And she was like pouring Lean Cuisine in a bowl for the dog. Like, didn't know like what the difference between human food and dog food. And the dog was had some hyperactivity issues and knocked my dad over, and he like slammed against the ice. I took him to the hospital. We found it had encephalitis, and it went up to his brain, and he was hallucinating for 2 weeks straight. So we were in.
What is that?
Encephalitis. I don't know what it is. It's an infection.
In your like spinal cord or
in
something?
In his spinal cord. And it spread all the way up to his brain. Like, he thought Tina Fey was trying to kill him. I have a joke about that on my special.
Of all people.
Of all people. Of all the people. And my joke is like, Dad, if it's somebody from SNL, it's Alec Baldwin, you know? Yeah, for sure. So.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
That was, and then I had to make the decision because, you know, my dad's, the dog was unruly and he couldn't take care of the dog. The dog was attacking other dogs. We have tiny 20-pound dogs, you know, under 20-pound dogs. So we tried to rehouse the dog. Then that dog attacked their dogs and the owner. And eventually, you know, I had to make the decision to put this dog down, which like this dog, you know, I still feel awful about it because this dog, you know, should, you know, like it was just nobody would take this dog and it was going to rip my dogs up, you know, and was going to attacking it. And eventually, you know, it was freaking out and it was just the saddest thing, you know, because I couldn't, like it would have literally killed all my dogs, you know, so and nobody else would. And it kept getting rehoused because it kept attacking dogs and people. And it was just, you know, that was rough. So that was, this was all in the last couple of years. And then there's also a point where I'd mentioned too, like where I like try, I got off booze and I tried to, I was writing a horror movie, which very good. The Dan, Scotty Landis, you know him. He was like supervising, great guy. He wrote Ma. We never sold it, but, it was about like the psychedelic, this kind of like misery, but psychedelic misery. But I ended up like to seeing, cause I'd forgotten what mushrooms were. I started like just doing mushrooms again. And I was doing like an eighth a day for like a month or that a quarter a day. And then like I quit comedy because I had gotten on stage and I had a set list. I had, well, this was like that day I didn't take any mushrooms, but the psilocybin was, I guess, still in my head. So all the set list, all the words started like moving around and I started laughing and I got off stage and I didn't get on stage for like, it's 9 months after
you just
that.
Started laughing and walked off.
Not laughing. I was like, like panic like that. And shout out to Eric Newman, who's a comic who like saved my ass and went up there. But I left. I didn't go on stage then for 10 months. I just focused on writing. I actually wrote that movie after that and I was sober for that, but then went out. So my thing is like, I go, you know, I go kind of balls to the wall work wise and then I end up going out again. But you know, it just, it doesn't work for me. There are all these disasters. So I'm still dealing kind of with, you know, my mom's death. It's been a year and 2 months, 3 months now since she passed.
Do you have the voicemail saved?
I think I may have one or two, but.
Do you ever listen to it?
No. I mean, I still have her phone that my wife went through just in case there was any like text that, again, my wife stepping up to the plate in more ways, you know, than ever, you know, one. And not just my wife, my friends have, you know, like Dan Soder probably saved my fucking life in a lot of ways, you know, like in just in getting me involved in these projects. Cause you know, like if I want to be, you know, like if I really want to be honest, like, you know, I had a hot moment in like 2013 and I was doing, you know, Variety Comic to Watch and all this shit. Then I ended up, you know, that kind of cooled off. I had a Fox and then I went to, you know, kind of the writer's room guy and that kind of cooled off, you know, 2019, 2020. And I really was out because of the pandemic, not even out of, I wasn't like, you know, showing up drunk to work or anything like that, or, but it really was the pandemic. And then there was some, you know, like I was not getting, there wasn't a lot of jobs. I wasn't getting hired. And, you know, luckily kind of Soder's like, no, man, you're great. And I'm going to, you know, put you into the fold. So I have nothing but love for that guy.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah. So like, you know, like, so my wife, my family, you know, my wife's family has been great. Me and my dad are still very close. You know, we've had a lot of issues regarding my mom's passing, but you know, I gotta, you know, he's all I got left, man. So it's like, I gotta.
When did he and your mom split?
It's 2016 or 15.
So they were married for a while.
30 then. Years. Over oh, 30 wow. Years.
Holy shit. So yeah. This her drinking wasn't new to him or anything.
No,
like that,
but I think that what happened was is that there was kind of a unwritten rule that my mom was my dad's cheerleader. And then when that stopped happening, you know, and my mom was always a little emotional.
30 years is a long time. So what do you think?
In my dad's
know?
Defense, I'm just want to say this right off the bat. In my dad's defense, like his diabetes numbers were going up with her. So I think that she would have killed him, you know? Like, so I think it had to end.
Okay, so that's what I was going to say, was that there was something that hit where it's like, it's got to stop.
It has got to stop.
His health.
Yes.
He chose his health, and your mom was like, no, I'm going to drink myself to death.
I think so, yeah. It very much hurt my dad, and it was weird seeing my dad date again and all this other stuff. But my
was
mom
he
just,
dating again while your mom was alive?
Mm-hmm.
He was.
And that, like, I think that, that kind of crushed her.
Yeah.
You know, but, like, she had lost a job. The thing that like, kind of, like, she had lost her job, and I think she was promoted to a job she couldn't handle. And I think that ego hit, she just wouldn't leave her bed for a year. And then eventually it turned into the end of the marriage. And, you know, and then it turned into... You know, her just going way nuts on the drinking and us trying to get her help and her refusing the help. And well, I kind of talked about that in the beginning of the podcast, putting her out in a rehab in Florida. So, yeah, it was kind of a bleak, you know, unfortunately, the last, you know, 7 years of her life were not pleasant, you know, and it wasn't pleasant for us either, you know. You know, even like, you know, my marriage, which was wonderful, you know, our wedding was wonderful. And then, you know, the next day, my mom just disappeared. So for a week, she wouldn't return my phone calls. So the whole time I'm terrified that she's, and I think she was on one. And then she finally calls back. She's like, I'm fine, you know. So
there she is.
There she is, right? Oh, my God. This happened the last time I was on here, too. So I was re-listening the episode and I was like, God damn it. So, yeah, dude, it was.
So can I ask you this? Because it's not something I'm familiar with at all. But when you have a loved one who passes in a facility like that, how do you.
She didn't pass in a facility. She passed in a hospital. But yeah.
Oh, in a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So then what happens now that you as the family has to come make your funeral arrangements? And
I can't really talk about that. We did have a service a week after that. There's some, you know, I just can't talk about the circumstances regarding the death. But yeah, I mean, after that, we ended up having a luncheon, which, you know,
who comes to that?
Her friends and family. And unfortunately, I think it was a little rushed, and a lot of her family friends didn't get to show up. And that was something I kind of, you know, that created a divide in the family over how this death was handled, which I'm not going to really get into who was on each side because they can't defend themselves and I can. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like that's my only thing. It's like, and there was a schism, there was a fault. I do think I'm right, but they can't defend themselves. And so it's like it's kind of unfair to like get into it on a podcast because they can't go on the Honeydew to defend themselves.
They go on the Honeydew with y'all though.
they'll be on the Patreon, guys. Yeah, so then it, you know, like I said before, it was a year of every couple months I'd drink, I'd have a disaster, and then.
So wait, let's go back for a sec. How do you celebrate your mom? You know, do you you had a
today?
Nice? No, I mean you had a luncheon that day. People, did you speak? Did you get up and speak?
I
say
did
some
speak.
Words?
Yeah, my friends came. It was.
Was it emotional for
of
you?
Of course, or? Yeah. I started crying, and you know, I couldn't drink around people, so I was like secretly drinking whiskey.
Did your dad get up and speak?
No. I spoke. My sister spoke. One of her friends spoke. Her cousin Sam, who's also was a rock, you know, during this, and then had to deal with her own mother, you know, passing. She spoke. We had a lot of her pictures there. You know, it was good food. It was a good Italian food. My dad was kind enough to pay for it. The food thing again.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that was it. It still feels like this weird dream, you know, everything that happened.
Is she still on your phone and all that stuff?
Yeah, still on my phone. And I love my mom, you know, despite everything that happened, you know, despite some of that, she wasn't like some, a lot of times she was pretty mean growing up, you know, wasn't mean to my dad. And I think that's why.
Are you an only child?
No, I have a sister. You do. And once my, when she was starting to meet my dad, I think that that's when he kind of got like, but you know, she wasn't easy with us a lot of the times. I mean, I probably wasn't easy with her either. But I wish every day, I wish that I could, I always said, I love you, but I wish I could like really express how much she was killing. Like it was killing me to see her like this. Mm-hmm. You know, so if you have that with a family member, you know, like they talk about that in Secession where they're like, you know, say the things that are unsaid. And there are some things that I wish I had said. And like unfortunately, what? I can't.
What would you want to tell her?
I don't know. I mean, I would want to tell her. I always told her I loved her. You know, I would want to tell her. I can I help more? And I she wouldn't. And I did try. I don't know what I would have said, Ryan. I don't know, but I do feel like I should have said something more. I should have had her over more, and I did in the beginning, and then the drinking and some of the mental illness got to be too much. I kind of wish that, you know, sometimes I was just, you know, taking her to, I was just showing up in the ways I had to, in the sense of like taking her to medical facilities and taking her out to eat and stuff, but it wasn't fun. Like I couldn't create that. I was just too fucking sad, you know, and she was too sad.
Yeah. Well, that's a sad fucking situation.
Yeah. So it's like, I don't totally blame myself.
It's not your job to be a comedian 24/7.
Well, it's not my job to be a dad to my mom.
That's 100%.
That's the thing.
You're the kid. It's not my job to be a dad to my mom. It's not.
So I had trouble, I think, trying to, I guess, figure that out. So I always told her I loved her, but I wish I could say, you know, I guess more instead of like telling her how she should help herself, like, what can I do to help you? Maybe that would be something I could say. But
so how do you celebrate her now?
Well, I have the urn.
you do.
My sister did something on the beach a couple months later, and
wait, you're gonna have to sit up. I'm sorry. That camera's not gonna
like
catch
too
you.
Heavy. No, my sister,
I get it. I'm sorry.
My sister did something on the beach like a year later, and and now, you know, I guess her Mother's Day and, you know, it's all her birthday in May, which, you know, we were
right. Oh, close. Man, you got a birthday and Mother's Day in May, huh?
My birthday is usually right on Mother's Day.
Did you do anything like spread her ashes anywhere, anything like that?
We went to Key West, which I was way too drunk for. And again, another reason I shouldn't be drinking because, you know, like one of the producers there who was very nice, I was like, you're not trying to fuck my wife, are you? Because I got whiskey, and I was like, because I got this.
What do you
the
mean
knife thing.
Producers?
The club I was doing.
You said that you did the knife thing.
I did the knife thing. And then I lost the check, so I had to ask the same guy to send me the check back. I've never talked about that on the podcast. So... yeah, I was just drunk the whole time in Key West and going to piano bars, and which is what my mom used to do too. So maybe I was celebrating her that way. Yeah. All right. I dumped the ashes in Key West, the place she loved to. And, you know, I had a nice Oxycontin after that. Felt really relaxed. But I don't think I'm going to go back to Key West anytime soon because I don't think I'm obviously... You know, the problem is I get like, I think that I can drink like a Jimmy Buffett song, and it's, you know, it's not a Jimmy Buffett song. It's a Tom Waits song.
So
know?
Let's talk about that, because that's the next thing is like, you're clean now, which is great.
Yeah.
But It's one of those things, man. Alcohol just does catch up.
Well, it's tough.
To you.
I mean, some things too. I want to smoke a lot, and that,
but
that's
I'm saying alcohol specifically, it's gonna get the liver. It's gonna get you somehow. It's gonna get you.
I can't anymore. I can't. My wife told me I don't have another one in me, and I've seen. I just talked about my mom. You've seen everything that happened to her.
Well, I like the choice that you're making because your mom said I like drinking more than you, and you're saying
I like my wife more than drinking.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. Although every once in a while, you're like, "Can I just throw it all away? My wife, my career, you know, like."
How do you deal with it out on the road and shit?
It's
how do
tough,
you deal with
man.
The temptation?
I've been on the road the last couple of months.
See, I don't drink. I don't say I don't drink. I haven't drank. I haven't had alcohol since January of 2023.
Oh,
just made a
conscious
decision, but I smoke a lot of weed.
Yeah,
I
wish I could
drank
do that.
Okay,
I've struggled with the I've had more urges for weed.
When I get to the clubs or at like I'll go check in at like 3 with Kirsten, we'll figure out where to set up merch or whatever, mm-hmm. introduce myself to everybody and mm-hmm. like you want to sit here and drink? And I'm like, no, man, it's 3:00. I'm like, do people do that? And like, oh, a lot of comics do that. And I'm like, they'll just sit here and drink for 4 hours before their show. And I'm like, mm-hmm. And I'm like, God, I can't. If I did that, I would be on the fucking floor throwing up. And, you know,
honestly, I've been. I think I've like a lot of the emotions from my mom past have like created like this need for sleep and depression. So I've been sleeping a lot on the road. Like I was just at.
Tell Kirsten I go on the road to sleep. I really do.
I went to Moon Tower and it's like, you know, I didn't. I did all my shows, and I was basically sleeping when I wasn't doing my shows. And the shows were great. I got to open for Ari and Shafir and at the Paramount, which was awesome. And, you know, sometimes if I'm on the road with Dan, we'll go get some food, and I'll come back. And then I have a lot of other things, dude. I'm, like, working on a lot of other shows. I'm working on a lot of other writing. And, you know, even while I'm out here, I'm helping out with the roast of Tom Brady. I'm helping Nikki out with stuff like that, Nikki Glaser out. She doesn't need it. She's great. Shoulder doesn't need me. He's great. I'm lucky in that I've been able to kind of stand on the shoulders of giants, you know, whether it's, you know, Soder or Michelle Wolf or Jermaine or Nikki or, you know, anyone else. I've kind of been able to lucky enough to, I mean, I'm pretty good too. I'm a pretty good stand up. I'm not going to, I'm pretty, check out Dance Fatty Dance. I'm pretty good. But like, you know, I've been lucky in that the great, you know, some great people have been able to help me out, you know. So I'm trying to get, you know, I don't want to sell myself short. Like I've done enough in comedy to know that I can do this. You know, I've done enough, whether it's, you know, like fucking, you know, like, it's like, you know, you don't go get on Conan like 3 times without thinking like, okay, you could probably do this. So it's like, don't fucking throw it away, you know, see what happens. See if something could happen. You're not a fucking millionaire right now, but you know, like you don't have to, you know, you're not going to be on this. I'm so terrified about ending up on the street and ending up with nothing. But the only way I can do that is drinking, you know, like, so
at least, you know that.
Yeah. I know it now in this moment. I know, but it's hard to like what, you know, intellectually realizing something and then living it are two very different things. So, that's my thing now is I just want to not, you know, go back there. And if that means I have to be boring, if that means that, you know, and hopefully in 5 years from now, I don't have enough stories to do another Honeydew.
Yeah, well, brother, thank you for doing this one.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And check out Dance Fatty Dance.
I was going to say, plug it all. Go ahead. Plug everything right now.
Dance Fatty Dance. If you're a wrestling fan, I do. I didn't even get to tell you about I roasted Ric Flair, which was kind of a disaster. But maybe that's in the future, I'll tell that story. But I have a Working Stiff wrestling podcast, formerly known as Wrestle Roast. I'm going to be starting a new one, Burbs Bros, with Sean Donnelly in a couple months. So follow me on Instagram. I post like 3 videos on that every week. I'm my website, my tour, danceandjermaine.net. I'm doing stuff. I'm going to be this week. This is the coming out. I'm going to be in DC and I'm doing, you know, various stuff in June and July too. You can all get on my website. So thank you.
You got it, bud. As always, Ryan Sickler on all your social media. Come see me on tour if I am in your town when you're around. Tickets are available on my site at ryansickler.com. We'll talk to y'all next week.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.